Tonight, I'm so glad that you're here. A word from Brother Joe again. He texted me this afternoon, and they had a wonderful service this morning, and just praying that you'd be praying for his trip home. How many of you got his email this past week? Did you sense his burden? You know, when he's there and trying to encourage the pastors there, and the word that really hit home to me was that this is a place, the Arab people are a people of joy, but yet also with such sorrow. And just be in prayer for the plight of those people as we minister to them, and pray for Brother Joe's trip as he comes home. He'll be flying home sometime this week, not real sure of when he'll be back with us, but be in prayer for him and his family. Tonight, Brother James George, another group that we help and minister to, will come, and he will share his heart with you in just a moment share his heart with us about where the Lord is leading and some possibilities that we can branch out to help in that ministry, the Sanma ministry as well. And brother, how many years ago did you meet us over there in that building? That 8 years ago. Man, it just seems like yesterday. And this guy walks in in the old big bad red building over there. Was it big red ugly building? Yeah, the Brub. And when he came over and shared his heart with us, and we were so touched. Brother Joe grabbed him that minute, left and went to another church down the road because he was so impressed with this man and what the Lord was doing through him. And you'll hear James's heart. It's not James George doing this, it's the Lord, and that's his heart, and we've been being a part of that, and honored to be a part of your ministry for 8 years. Thank you for that. But in just a moment, he's going to come. But in the meantime, we need two deacons to come forward, and we're going to take a love offering. And if you weren't prepared for that, to give tonight, then listen, come by the church office sometime this week. That's why I said don't leave. I didn't even see her go down. but we're just, and again, if you're not prepared, bring that by the church office so that we can send that to him. In fact, we have an address and all that for him, so it's not the first time we've done that. So I want to say a word of prayer, and brother, when they come back, it's yours. You just come back up after they take up the offering. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity, Lord, to hear, Lord, of what we're doing, Father, by way of being a part of Sanma Ministries. And, Father, I first of all, thank you that Brother James George had a safe trip here. And, Lord, thank you for bringing him here. And Lord, while he speaks, Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts. Lord, give us ears to hear, Lord, of what you'd want us to hear tonight. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, for his dear wife, Lord, who we finally got to meet. Father, what a dear lady, what a dear partner, Lord, that he has. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless her all the time that James is away. Father, that you will just bless their relationship even more so. And, Father, I pray, Lord, that the gift that we give, Lord, would just be multiplied, Lord, and be used, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord, through this ministry. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your love for us that was so, Lord, so vividly demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. And we praise this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Good evening. The other day, Beverly and I had the honor of receiving by Joe and him and James Murflew, the man. And when we were at the seminary at the Crystal College, but Joe spoke about him reading the Bible to prepare for sermon, and each time he would get a different viewpoint altogether. And I couldn't agree more. The way God brings new treasures or new information from the same area that we read, and we find out this is what or this is how you were speaking with. And that has been actually a testimony of my own also. I think maybe depending on our area of connection with the Lord, he used in that point to speak to us. And Mark Twain once said, truth is stranger than fiction because it doesn't make any sense. Sometimes it doesn't. And relating to that, I'm going to read a scripture. The Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 18 and part of 19. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And we know the background of the story. Two of the Lord's disciples walked with him, and now all of a sudden, they are going to Emmaus when they were actually supposed to go to Galilee, because the promise was to meet me there. That is what the command. And these people who loved the Lord, there is no doubt that they loved him, because Bible says this, they're saying, when he was talking with us, when our hearts burning within, like you're talking to someone who care about, your heart goes out when you talk to them. They did love him. That's the reason that their hearts were burning within. But still, they were trying to figure out things on their own, because the news they were hearing were not in line with what the promise was. News probably was right. In their case, it was. News was correct. He was arrested. He was caught, arrested, killed, and buried. And here this disciple, in all his sincerity, he's asking, Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who hasn't known these things? In other words, he is telling, You didn't watch the TV today, did you? Or you don't have internet at home, don't have a newspaper or radio signal, don't get to your village, does it? After listening to them talking and elaborating all the news and all those things happening, Jesus, in a diplomatic way, was probably telling them to shut up. He's asking just one question, what things? I believe God is asking us that question one way or other almost every day. When we still love him, but listen to the world to the point that we set aside his promises and choose to go the logical way. Logic, I can understand, because I try to always like to have a plan. But man's logic doesn't really always work with God's plan. The other day, my dad was sharing his testimony, and they had to leave their home. And my mom is one of the nine in her home, and her parents wouldn't say nine children after that. They would say eight. She was not counted among the family anymore. She was expelled. And it was shame for them. to have her part of the family. And even worse was in Dad's case. And we didn't see them except for a funeral or sometimes for a wedding. Because they were trying to help our parents by putting pressure on them so that they would come back from the mistake they made for walking with this. Logically, they were right. And when you are part of 1%, and it is not the logic way to go. They said, George, you made a mistake. Who is going to make friends with you? And when you're dead, where are they going to take your body? Because in other days, churches control the burial sites, and like in many countries. So you had to be part of certain religion, and it's not an established one. You really are in a bad place. And yes, they were logically right. But good thing was, man's logic doesn't work with God's plan. It works totally different. Doesn't make any sense. But it was true. Last night, we were reading the book of Esther. And I found something new there. One more example of how precisely God orchestrates things. The way that here this king cannot go to sleep, and he's asking, instead of doing something else, he's reading the Chronicles and happened to come to the exact place where he's talking about Mordecai. And I thought, what if King would have said then, let me take a break and read 5 minutes later. If he had taken that 5 minute break, probably Haman could come in and get the order to kill Mordecai. Right at that moment, how precisely orchestrated. And one thing I found out was the Holocaust was not initiated by Hitler first time. It was Haman. So organized, purpose was this, to eliminate Jewish people from the face of earth, everywhere. From all the way from India to Ethiopia, the news was gone, the report was gone. I mean, if you think of the way those days countries or leaders organized things, with no cell phone or wireless system, how in the world they got this message so evenly across the world. They knew about globalism. If anybody knew about one world, they knew. They knew how to handle things. And God comes in. As he was there, they just didn't see until they were willing to open or willing to let God to open their eyes to see. Today, the New Testament Jews, you and I, the same promise, every promise that was given to Jewish people in the Old Testament, God is given to that exact same promise to the New Testament Jew, that you and I will bless thee, the one who blessed you. You think, word by word, all those are given to that people, given to us. What a privilege if you think of that. Someone who was so dear to God's heart, and he took that and gave to everyone who came through the door of Jesus. The New Testament Jew, you are. And last year, when there was that organized attack on Christians, when this political party would say, when they promised a country that is free of foreign religion, in other words, they would eliminate Christians. And it was so organized, homes were marked. They wouldn't go to their home, but the neighbor home, which is non-Christian. And looking at the mark, these people who were brought in from another state to destroy and burn down these tents, I mean these homes, could look at and realize that who is next. Because neighbors wouldn't do this to the neighbor. They knew each other. They loved and cared for each other. So they brought in people from another state. It was very nicely organized attacks. And never, I think, in the history of India, 110 pastors were killed in a month. Very nicely done. And that only one political party voiced for Christians, losing steam in the election campaign. So Christians prayed that a government will come in power which will not be harmful to Christians, and God will open a door. That's all they prayed for. I was, it is beyond my words to praise God to watch to see how things were unfolding. And the election morning, and everybody staring at this news outlets, and they say, how it can be. That little party won the election all the way. God opened a door. Man's logic never goes with God's plan. It takes place in a way that you cannot imagine possible. There was not a single chance for Mordecai to believe that there will be a way to get out of it. And he's reminding in a beautiful way. One thing, another thing touched me was when Esther, his niece, was sending him a nice dress, he refused to accept it. In other words, he was reminding her, queen or Christian friends who are in power, there's a lot more to do than just comforting words or talk and gift. Mordecai made a decision not to accept it and find comfort in that little area. He said, girl, there is something a little more than this. We need to do it, to use our power. Now we have an opportunity, because authority or power doesn't last very long. It just comes and visits and takes off. That's just the way the powers that world give you. World cannot give you a lasting power. It just stays with you for a while and just vanishes away. Mordecai reminded his niece that this is what we are supposed to do, daughter. So don't worry about sending me this gift. You are appointed there with a greater purpose. I wish we Christians would come to recognize that when God is asking us to do something, he has a plan there. He is capable of seeing us through. And we just don't see that sometimes. I thought of the story of this widow going to Prophet Elijah, asking and explaining her problem. You might want to know, those days, as it is today in many countries, a widow was not even to be in public. A widow was not even a good sign to see. There are many Hindu villages, if you are a widow there, when they set out to go to something good, if they see a widow, they turn around and go home. Is not even good to be seen. Such a humiliating way to control people with superstitions and things that man said. God had a plan to change and turn that around to a point that I believe that preacher's widow, from that day on, people probably came and asked her, sister, I had to go for a major business deal tomorrow, or job interview. I just want to look at you when I go. Would you just stand by the door? God needed to change the situation altogether. God needed a widow who would just do what God was asking her to do. To go collect empty vessels? People would have laughed at her. And it took that widow for God to let the world know that he listened to the answers, listens and answers to the prayers of his people. All she had to offer. I don't think that widow even prayed in public before. Let alone to go speak to people. She didn't know. But from then on, she didn't have to. People were talking about her. Today, the world is talking about Christians and Christian churches. Sometimes we don't think that world thinks that much about her. In fact, world thinks about Christians and with a sense of fear. Because whenever Christians pray, they have seen God answer prayers. We simply need to be willing for God to open our eyes, I think. That's all we had to do there. That's all this widow was doing. Throughout the history, that is what happened. This Moses and Esther, and this 80-year-old man who going into the palace of Pharaoh, and by every means designed to intimidate people. Palaces are designed to intimidate people. Lee Iacocca went to the U.S. Senate here in Rome and plea on behalf of the car company, and he said, that is kind of intimidating rooms, he said. He should have gone to the palaces. Even today, there are African palaces with live lions free walk around the foyer. You go to your friend's home and a kitty cat, a puppy dog comes to greet you, that's okay. But if a huge lion comes to greet you, how do you handle? The lion won't attack you until the king snaps. How in the world do you know when this king is going to snap? So you watch your words carefully. You'll be nice. I think Moses was tempted to be that nice guy. He could have come back and said, you know what, I had a good visit with the king. We had coffee together. We discussed your problems, and we are going to consider that in the next business meeting. Everything will be all right. Man of God, Moses knew something better. Moses knew God needed someone to act so that God can perform miracle through that individual. My friends at Groves, you may not have known this much. Each of you have become miracle in the lives of people, even when you don't even know much about it. I would never forget the time I took my dad to the guy who caused for him to come to know the Lord. The school teacher placed a little New Testament like this on his table and left. Just asked a question, George, how have you been saved? And he would come back a week and a half later, asked the same single question and left. That man faithfully did that for a little over a year. And he was transferred over to somewhere else to another school district, and never to be seen again. After he was gone, my dad opened the Bible, not knowing this is not merely a book, but sharper than any two-edged sword and go through anyone's heart. I came to know the Lord, and we grew up hearing him talking about this man all the time. About 3 years ago, I asked him, have you thought of ever meeting this guy? And he said, I have no idea where he would be. Traced him down and took him, and we found this man and took my dad. And this man was living in a rural village, retired, and brought him together. And needless to say, it was an emotional meeting, a beautiful one. And I thought, if this little meeting on this earth, if it is that beautiful, now how it would be when we get to heaven. An amazing way God used our little efforts, our faithfulness more than anything else, to change lives and bring to add new names to the Lamb's Book of Life. But 44 years ago, Dad said, he used to teach some Hindu kids, just bring them together, give them a cup of milk and try to teach them about Jesus. And nothing happened. He did that for almost 2 years, and he moved away. And he thought, no, I really don't know this deal. Maybe God didn't want me to do it. So he was kind of disappointed. A couple of years ago, Dad was standing at the marketplace preaching. And this gentleman comes in a motorcycle and waited until he was finished and walked straight up to him and asked, "You remember me?" And that was scared, kind of. He thought he got in trouble with some government people or something. He said, "I'm sorry, I don't. Remember giving milk to those kids? I was one of them." Later on, this man had come to know the Lord through some other way, but that little seed was in him for him to remember. And he had become an executive at an oil company, and he came home. Oh, it was, after all, it was not at all a waste. It was good. Sometimes we don't get to see. Heaven has a record. It doesn't miss. It blesses me when I read God looking down from heaven to see faithful man. People, that is all he's asking. And I'm glad he doesn't ask anything further. Because if he asked for qualifications, I wouldn't come close to that. Like John Wooden, the basketball coach, says, "John, make a list of things that you can do. Focus on what you can." And to me, it's a good thing to hear that. So because the list is very short, easy to focus. You didn't mind to make a list of things that I cannot do, including my inability to speak Texan. But friends, that beautiful day is coming, and it is coming very soon, that we will worship him in truth and spirit in one language. Before that, we have a job to finish. Time actually is running out. God has sent a thirst for the gospel. Everywhere you go, you sense that. People are looking actually in a way they actually are thirsty. When you go to some villages, you can get an idea or understanding of why Son of God would stand at that festival place in a street corner probably, standing there crying out, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He was sensing that thirst human hearts have. That's exactly what is happening today. Through the past 80 years, we're looking at that, some of the results God allowed us to have to bring glory to his name. Go through the letters of people they occasionally write, and I think this, maybe for one letter you get, nine others probably had that experience, only one came back to say thank you. That's perfectly okay. That is not the numbers, letters we could present, is not the score anyway. Score is this: have we been faithful? Have we been obedient to what God asked us to do? That's all he's asking, really. What result is for us to present to Almighty God? What do we say? What can we say to impress him? There is nothing. In a beautiful way, God made things possible. I remember the first time when I came in, we were actually thinking about opening a community education place where people could come together to learn to read and write using the Bible as a textbook, because many of those villages, we couldn't present it openly or open a church, but people were eager for the gospel. And we would pick a person from the local community and train that person to go there and teach their people to read and write. And it started today. There are 43 centers. God allowed Sanma to open and operate in a beautiful way that is going forward. And one thing I tell you, that to this day we never had to have any pledge or any promise, because God promised to meet you. And he has been. And that is a ongoing story. 2 years, year and a half ago now, we went to this village and found a school. And a little over 200 kids left out we had to do something there and opened a public school without a building at first. Today everything is functioning wonderfully. Almost 300 students getting quality education. But this is also one of the textbook. To be a public school, we had to meet all the requirements state. And so we talked with them. We told them, we will teach everything that you need or you we are required by the state. And they said, after finishing, you can teach whatever you like to. We put that in. We had volunteers come in, and they use teaching English as a second language, teaching Bible as a mean to do that. The other day, on August 15th, which is the Independence Day of India, I had an opportunity to meet with the parents. And so we asked them to come up and share what they have seen and why they send their children to our school. And this Hindu man with all his Hindu robes and everything on, and he comes and says, I see my child different than to us. So I ask him, what is different? And he brought this book home, and he's reading it. That's a blessing to our home. Becomes life to many people. We went to a village, then they said, because you all came and we got some water and our village has changed, we made our life easy. I told them, friends, maybe our visit have helped to make your life a little easier. That's true. But we came representing someone who came to this world to say, I have come so that you have life and more abundantly. The meaning of life changes there when he said that. That abundant life. It changes everything, the way you look at life. It is a public school, but it stands as a testimony. It is a silent preacher of the gospel. Not silent. In the classrooms, it is not silent. It's presented directly, bringing meaning to life to many children. Recently, we insisted a little more on the importance of making local missions self-sufficient for two reasons. We wanted to respect the gifts that you send so that even if it is a one-time gift, it will be multiplied. When people become self-sufficient in the sense that they trust God, than waiting for someone to send everything every month. Two ways it helps. One is the obvious one. Your investments multiplies. Secondly, or even equally important, they're becoming a silent witness to the people. For example, there's a pastor's wife came and said, she opened a small dairy operation with one milking animal. And she said, they may not like what we preach, but they are confident about buying milk from us. That is her way of witnessing. I remember when I went to school, Mom would send a little bucket of milk with me to sell at the local tea shop. So I would drop that bucket of milk at the tea shop, and when I come back from school, I need to pick up. And Mom would always tell me, ask him to pay you more, give more money to our milk. I said, how come? I cannot ask for more money. They will give only the market price. And he said, she would tell, no, ask him to sell, give you more, because he will understand the difference. What was it? She would send his milks are clean and nice without adding any water to increase the quantity or anything. That was her way of witnessing. In many cases, the little dairy operation or this farmer, he didn't have a plow, a wooden plow to plow the field. And now he is a faithful worker. People enjoy him coming to their field and working there. He's just a believer. He doesn't know how to preach, but he is present in the gospel. He's put in the principles of Christian life at work. And we get the joy of seeing them prosper. God bless their efforts. really putting some importance of making local missionaries self-sufficient so that they too can become an example of God's blessing. God has no difference if they are faithful. God is faithful to them. They get to see that. Last year, at Christmas, this church actually raised more money than any other that we knew, that we know, to send goats to the child laborers. Friends, it was not just a pet or animal. To them, to many of those children, it was an opportunity to enjoy childhood, which they never would have otherwise. Each time I see them, the children under 14 years of age, working right along with adults, their dreams they don't even have. Never forget this 12-year-old girl. She was a child laborer because her dad got an accident, lost a leg, and couldn't feed the family. And this girl was working. And she would walk up for the graduation, literacy graduation. They so proudly stand there, read a passage or from the newspaper and write their name. That is how they graduate. Like you graduate with a doctorate. And she would read that. She read from John 1:12. As much as who believed in him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. And she said, I dreamed about being able to read. I never thought I could. And she just stood there crying. I thought of people like you who made it possible. Bible says this is the most wonderful, most beautiful scene on earth is the repentance of a sinner. When a new name is added to the book of life, angels look down. The most awesome thing that we thought it was doesn't matter nothing to these angels. But someone walk up and turn their life over to her, or when a new name is added, such a joy going up there. Another little child, my sister, walked to the school, and she was running one of the best private schools in southern India and came to help get started in the school. And this 9-year-old boy would try to get her attention all the time, and he pulled in and talked with him. Turned out that his mom had committed suicide, and he didn't know his dad. And his sister was working at a construction site to send this boy to school. Our initial response was to waive them the fee and give them some money or something. Then I thought, no, we sent two missionaries to the home where they were staying with their relative. And thanked them and asked them what this girl brings by working there. It turned out that but 6 months of her wages were enough, equal to a pair of goats. And we gave them a couple of pairs of goats. And both those kids are in school. And they too are paying their dues. They didn't have to be living off of anybody else. They are a contributing citizen. They are contributing citizens. That pride and confidence came back to their life. And more importantly, we had an opportunity to witness with their family. Friends, please don't ever underestimate the impact you have made. You have reached and touched lives like none other could. Because that for that particular life, God had appointed you and you acted on it. Needs are enormous. At the same time, the impact you can make with small efforts are also enormous. It's huge. For example, this New Testament copy, by the way, we are in the process of producing the sixth language. Cost $1 to produce, but shared between 6 people. What if one person come to know Christ? Truth is, it does. Because it's not presented to anyone. It is presented to those who request. All based on they ask for and you present it. Because when you present a religious book without requesting, they think it is disrespectful. So it is presented very carefully. God is bringing the result. To make a missionary self-sufficient, we found out that around $1,500 make them self-sufficient. We don't have to support them from then on. And by trusting God, the other day, last time when I was in India, we brought in 60 new brothers and sisters in Christ to train them, and by the end of this year, means it will be August next year when they complete 1 year program. God willing, about 20 of them should be able to be ready to go to field. Because not all of them will go, not all of them may be qualified. So we wanted to be responsible, because that is our way of respecting your input into it. Friends, I stand here actually as a representative of people who would like to come and say thank you. Or may not even say a word, but stand there and cry. But God honors your efforts. And only heaven will reveal to the full extent of it. We get to see a little glimpse of it through meeting these people. There is a great opportunity. And I want to thank you for your partnership that has helped us, that has enabled to have this gone forward in a beautiful way. And like we read earlier from the scripture, things may not look exactly the way we want all the time. News media or the world around us may be telling things may be true, may not be true. Doctor may have given a bill of health that may not be the way we wanted. It may be true, may not be. How do we know exactly? I have a sister, doctor. I ask her, Mary, are you really sure when you tell someone to a patient exactly that is how it is? She said, I'm not. All I can do is, based on the best assumption I can, I give them my opinion, actually. God is not working on opinion. He has promised you. Media, news, what the world thinks or says may or may not be true. But if he has promised to meet you, he will. Data and news has nothing to do with the truth. Truth is this: I will meet you in Galilee. That's what he said. Let me close my words. In the sweet by and by, I love that song. Sung by this missionary that inspired us. And she is such a joyful person. And her husband was killed. She knew what that word meant when Paul says, peace that passes all human understanding. And we try to figure out with our understanding, there is no reason to be peaceful or to have joy. But his peace, that divine peace, comes so overwhelming, it takes over. And that's what he meant. He said, to dwell in that. When we have that, you don't have to have anything else. ശോഭയേറുമോർ നാടുണ്ടതു കാണാമേതുരവിശ്വാസത്താൽ താതൻ വാസം നമുക്കൊരുക്കി നിൽക്കുന്നോണ്ടക്കരെ കാത്തൂതാൻ വേഗം നാം ചേർന്നിടും ഭംഗിയേറിയ ആ തീരത്തിൽ വേഗം നാം ചേർന്നിടും ഭംഗിയേറിയ ആ തീരത്തിൽ We shall see again that great hope only a Christian can have. Together it is possible to bring that same hope to a person who lives in the most desperate condition in the world. because he can bring that peace that passes all understanding. Thank you. God bless you.
Well, good. No? Yes? Okay. All right. I don't know about you, but every time I hear this man speak, I am so humbled. I am so humbled to stand and listen to what he has to say. And I was visiting with a guy just this past week, and he was going on and on about where he had to live and what he had to live without. And then in the middle of that, he just stopped and said, "But you know what? I live better than 90% of the people in this world." And that is so true. That is so true. Brothers, you were speaking about, it was your dad that was coming and giving milk to the students, right? And while you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, and he left. Does anybody know? Did it reach anybody? And then this man comes back and said, "I was one of those kids." And I'm thinking, how many wells have you dug in India? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, it's just water, but it's water. And when they got the water, then they begin to think, hey, life is better. But from that cool drink of water, how many people have come to know the Lord? I don't know. You don't know. You know? And we won't know until that day that we all get together and the sweet by and by. That's beautiful in any language, brother. And we will be together in the sweet by and by. And it will be then and only then will we know what the gifts that we've given, and so little as they may be, what the Lord may use that for and how he can multiply that. I am so blessed to know you, brother, and to be here tonight. Thank you. And he said he couldn't speak Texan. When we were, you know, isn't it amazing that when people of a different language begin to speak, how hard it is to understand, and then before you know it, understood every word you said. I believe that God, that the Lord does something to our ears. It's called the Holy Spirit, I guess. Yeah, it takes God, right? Yeah, that was good. But when we were up in Dallas this past week, or week before last, and Brother Joe got to speak at Criswell College, y'all, I'm going to tell you something. That guy can shuck the corn, man. He was preaching, and he had those, and you know, and students have to go. They have to go. Whether you call it a captive audience or what, but they have to go. I thought the guy was handing out a program, and I was going to say, he said, "Do you have to be here?" And I went, "Well, yeah, my preacher said I had to be here." He said, "No, I mean, are you? Do you have to come for a class?" And I went, "Oh, no." And he said, "Well, you don't need this." I thought, okay. And so, I got the point. They had to be there. But I want you to know that before Brother Joe was finished, everybody in that place was amening and praising the Lord. That he had such a message for those young people that they couldn't help but listen and to hear what he had to say. And but all along, I was thinking, Brother Joe said that, yeah, I said, "We're going to eat lunch." And he said, "Well, Brother James has asked us to come over to his home." And when we flew in, a tremendous pilot that we had, the weather was awful. And he was doing this number, and I mean, beautifully, did to get around all the bad weather. I mean, I don't know that we got any rain except once, and we got out and got in there, but it was that dodging the clouds that didn't make me feel well. And now I'm going to this Indian man's home to eat, and I'm thinking, oh no, we're going to have Indian food. And Bart Bragg said, "We're not eating Indian, are we?" And and James said, I knew then he could speak Texan. He said, "We're having barbecue." Yes! Praise God. And boy, you can speak Texan, brother. I'm telling you. We had a wonderful meal and met his wife, Beverly. And, oh, man, what a delight that she is. And so this man can speak Texan. And it was It was good. Praise God. And Texas Hospitality. Thank you for your opening your home. And then hearing you speak, just, oh my gosh. I want to buy some goats, brother. I'm serious. I don't mean that jokingly. I mean that. That will be a Christmas gift to my mom this year. Praise the Lord. Yes. Wow. Well, praise. There he is. Praise the Lord. Did y'all hear that? Praise God. Thank you for that testimony, huh? Wow. That's good. Praise the Lord. Any other testimonies before we go? Thank you, Miss Jackie. And what I like what the brother said is that they had two goats gives them an opportunity to have a childhood. Isn't that great? Thank you. Yeah. Yes. And get this. Get this. What is one of your textbooks in your classes? God's Word. We can't teach it until we're here in America. Is that not crazy? That is something. That we have a difficult time doing that, but because we can't teach religion. You know how we're having to guise that? We're teaching it just as a book, a literary piece of literature. That's it. It's a piece of literature, and that's how we can teach it. But I tell you what, I take it. I fixed. Thank you, Melissa. I'll take it. I told Clarice that's the only reason I'd go back to the public schools if they'll let me teach Bible. That'd be the only reason. That would be, brother, you're ahead of us in India. Now, what did you say in India was a Christian population? About?
Now, the born again
Christians divide 1.2% of the whole country. Is that not amazing? Just the other day, and I want to say this and we'll close. He said enough. Clarice and I were talking this afternoon about, she was watching an Oprah thing because she was over in Denmark and she was doing the show from Denmark and she was with one of the women there and they were talking about how simple they live, but they have found out that the people in Denmark are the happiest people in the world. The happiest people in the world. And so she followed this woman around for a day to see what her living was like, and she went to her home. And when she went to her home, she said it was just so small. They had three kids. They went to the kids' room and said, coming off the wall, there was three beds built on the wall, bunkered. And that's where the three kids slept. And she said, from that bunkered beds, there was maybe 4 feet. And I said, so truly, it was a bedroom. That they went there, slept, and they left. And so she was talking to her about her kitchen. Where's your kitchen? And she went into a place that was maybe 4 by 4. 4 feet by 4 feet. That was their kitchen. And she said, I missed your bedroom. And she said, no, we went through the master bedroom. She said, we did? And it was a room that had a bed. That was it. That was their house. Their whole house. And they were just pleased. And then as Oprah was talking to her, she asked her the question about, this lady was saying something about a higher being that she never even mentioned that. And Oprah said, what, do you believe in God? No. She said, does anybody believe in God? No. She said, are there any churches? She went, there may be one in town. I don't think so. And then she said, so how can you be the happiest people and not believe in a higher power? We believe in the trees. You know, we believe in those things. And I thought, you know, The field is white in harvest. The field is white. And what we can do to do as the Lord called, the laborers are few who will call. Thank you, brother, so much for your presence and for you coming. I want to do something different. Would you just come stand with me? Guys, anybody, ladies, would you come stand with this man as we pray? We just want to lay hands on you, brother. Anyone who wants to come. If you can't get him, touch somebody close. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight thanking you, Lord, for a word, Lord, a life that was given tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for opening our ears to hear. But Father, I pray that you open our hearts to receive, Lord, the message that this dear man gave tonight. Lord, a message, Lord, a challenge to me, Lord. I am so humbled. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that it was a challenge. But Lord, I heard a message of hope here tonight. Lord, hope, Lord, because of what you can do, Father, with so little. Lord, and I just thank you for that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this man's heart. Lord, his heart for his country. Lord, his heart for the people. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you have given him that, Father, that you have given him the desire. Thank you, Lord, for his dad, Lord, who is saved, and Lord, who doesn't mind sharing the gospel, Father. Lord, even sometimes in dangerous and tumultuous times, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll protect this man, Lord, as he leaves next week, Lord, to go back, Lord, to his homeland. Father, I pray for traveling grace. But Father, I pray, Lord, for grace while he's there, Lord, that you will continue to open doors, Father, whether it be through a watering hole, Lord, whether it be through a glass of milk, Lord, through a school. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just grant that, Lord, for him, that you'll open doors, Father, that you'll grant him favor, Lord, in the people that he speaks to. Lord, that you will do that, Lord, for this man. Lord, and ultimately, Lord, that you'll be doing that, Lord, for the kingdom of God. So, Father, I pray that for this man. I pray this, Lord, for the ones that's already there, the missionaries that are there. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the money will come. Lord, I know, Lord, it's more than about money, but, Lord, it's about the spiritual matters of the heart. And, Father, that the wallets will open, Lord, that the purses will open so that, Lord, that these things can be done, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, we can't all go, but, Father, we can send your word, Lord, through the gifts that we give. And, oh, Father, I pray that. Lord, again, thank you for this evening. Thank you for what it meant, Lord, to our lives, Lord. And, Lord, and I'm praying for goats, Lord. I'm just praying, Lord, that will open the doors, Lord, for children. Lord, children, I can't even imagine. Lord, I can't imagine. But, Lord, I pray, Lord, that just through that, through the gifts of people, Father, that children can have a childhood. Thank you. Thank you for your message. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you.